about it this evening on the Thermal Radio Club newsletter that they put out. They put out a real good newsletter every couple of weeks. And I saw that, and I thought it might be something to get into. I don't have that problem, but I'm very interested in it. Over.
I think we all should be interested in it. I don't have that problem either. I've got a tower out here and got wire antennas strung across the backyard and all that. Nobody said anything. Other than the neighbors, I had a couple of neighbors stop by and saw all my antennas. And one fella asked me, he says, how many stations can you get with that antenna you got up there? I just looked at him and said, all of them. So I don't know if he was talking about AM, FM, broadcast radio or what, but I just told him I could get them all, and that seemed to satisfy him.
Well, wire antennas out around the lot. It's hard to see them. Sometimes I can't even see them when I know where they are. The biggest one is through the tops of the trees, 1,100 feet long. Today I was able to talk to Israel, Slovenia, Russia, and a couple other places. So it's kind of interesting. Over.
For DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with N4EDW, Mr. Ed up there in Brevard. Oh, it's a beautiful, interesting hobby, Ed. You know, you can talk all over the world. You can do satellite work, you know, bounce, talk off of satellites. You can do moon bounce. You can do slow scan TV. The list just goes on and on and on and on as to what you can do with the hobby. And, it's a thrill just to throw a wire up in the top of a tree and be able to talk to South Africa or Australia, New Zealand, Israel, anywhere, you know, Russia. You don't know who's liable to come back to you once you get out. Yeah, throw your call sign out there unless you're trying to get someone that's already on the air. It's just a beautiful hobby, and, there's so much that you can do with it. If you don't like to do voice or phone that we're doing now, you can get digital or CW or just all kinds of stuff. It's more than just talking on the radio. I'll put it that way.
Cam's in the Hendersonville Club is getting me started on digital. I think it's FSK. I'm not sure if that's the right terminology. But he can put out a signal, and it's picked up by stations all around the world, comes back to him, depending on the software, and that's what I've got to get sorted out. And that will tell him what his signal is doing. Over.
There are a number of folks that do a lot of digital work and that sort of thing. I'm not into it myself because I don't like my computer. And if my computer is reciprocates, and it don't like me most of the time. I tell it to do something, and it's got a mind of its own, and it'll do something else. And then we get to arguing, and next thing I know, I turned it off. So, you know, we compromise. I don't bother it, and it don't bother me. But, if digital's what you want to do, go for it. You know, I'm all for it as far as that goes. But I enjoy my CW panels and doing a little straight key every once in a while. I hadn't done much straight key in a long time. Maybe I need to get my straight key back out and practice with it a little bit and then do that. But do a little CW and a lot of fun, but have a lot of fun with it, with what I do.
Have that much interest in the digital other than being able to take advantage of what I just learned, that I could find out just what kind of pattern my antenna is putting out. I had radio teletype operators working for me in the Signal Corps, and I really have no desire to be a teletype operator. Over.
It's all what you want to get out of it. Whatever you put in, you can get out. And then you can get a lot of stuff out of it you don't put into it, you know, just by listening Yeah, the folks telling you about the digital modes and what they'll do, and you learn about the radiation pattern of your antenna and that sort of thing. The signal's going the best, you know. It might go, instead of east to west or north to south, it may go northeast, southwest or something of that nature. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with the topography of the land. It has to do with propagation, you know, the ionosphere and what all you're bouncing the signals off of and this sort of thing. So who knows? It's all magic.
As far as E-Page got messed up, don't know exactly why or how, but I got back on today and put pictures back on so you can get on and see how my antennas look. One of them is from a Google Earth with a marked-up map so you can see just how it goes around the lot. I really like my Delta Loop that I used for quite a while until I got the Big Loop up. And I was getting, I think, over 100 foreign stations with it all the way to Saudi Arabia, down to Cape Town, and about as far down in Chile as you can go. Over.
I'm glad that your is working as well as it is. When I was working, I did quite a bit of mobile HF work, and I've talked to Antarctica driving down 85 in my mobile. I thought that was pretty amazing, and they enjoyed that. And, of course, I've talked to other places as well as far as the mobile goes. I talked to a gentleman in California. He had a half-acre lot, and he's got six towers on it. He's got one tower that has a 20-meter beam on it that's got a boom of 60 feet long. And then he's got another commercial tower with a 40-meter beam. It's a monobander, and the weight of that particular beam is 400 pounds. And then he's got four other towers, and he's got a wire antenna. He put up four towers to put up a 160-meter wire around his property. So, you know, you can pay me now or, you know, you can spend as little or as much as you want to on the hobby. And, you know, as long as you get an antenna up there and it radiates, it doesn't, it's a bird perch.
With Ford, I got to work with the radio installations in the vehicles. And one of our trips was down to Voice of America down in Ohio. And we got to take a tour of the site, go through it. You could hold up a fluorescent bulb and it would light. And the refrigerators and stoves on the street across from the antenna field would talk, which was interesting. And in some spots, it would actually kill the electronics in the vehicles. You'd go up 75 and see a truck parked on the side of the road with the hood up, and we knew what had happened to it. If he had pushed it forward about 5 feet, it probably would have started. Over.
You don't never know what's going to happen out there. And that's amazing that it'll mess up electronics the way it will sometimes. When I was driving a truck, we had one truck that if you got close to it and keyed your 11-meter radio, it would cut it off. Now, you couldn't run a radio in that truck, but everybody that ran radios knew which truck that was, and when we'd get beside it, we'd key the microphone and start talking, whether we were talking to anybody or not, just to make it cut off. Aggravate the driver that was behind the wheel of that particular truck. So, they finally found out what was wrong with it. I think they replaced the computer and then put some shielding around it. But it sort of cut that truck off in a heartbeat. But it's funny things that happens to all kinds of stuff as far as the electronics go.
Was on a test drive down in Alligator Alley across Florida, and he went out to pass the semi, and apparently the semi had an amplifier in, because all of a sudden the car's engine stopped. He was in the passing lane, and I think there's only two lanes there at that time. And here he is in the wrong lane with oncoming traffic and no engine. Over.
In the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with N4EDW, Mr. If it happened to it, I wouldn't want it to happen to me, but I can see where it would happen.
I was in Korea, and I had a radio and a small hooch on a 3/4-ton truck, which was a common setup for us operating tactically. And they had large, long vertical antennas that would sit up, oh, they must have been about 20 feet high. One of the drivers came back one day and was very upset. Somebody had let all the air out of all four of his tires as he went down the road. Turns out he caught a power line with about 4 inches of below the top of his antenna, and it blew out all his tires. From then on, people were more careful of keeping the antennas pulled down. Over.
Leave it to the government that have a vehicle where if the antenna would be up and it hit a power line, it'd blow out the tires. That's amazing. But, you know, unfortunately, that sort of stuff happens. My brother-in-law, before he passed away, he retired out of the Army, and he was in the motor pool, and he was a mechanic, in the motor pool, and he's told me all kinds of tales about what's happened to those vehicles in the Army.
To radio, but related, I got to work with the Japanese Self-Defense Forces, their name for their army. All of their forces are in one organization, and I got to go out with a signal unit. They showed me a tree lightning had hit. Underneath, they had a tactical field wire going to a headquarters a mile or so away. When lightning hit it, sparks flew out of the phone at the headquarters.
That lightning is a lot of, there's a lot of voltage there and a lot of current there, and it travels quickly. I have to have people tell me about, all these lightning arresters and stuff that they've got on their equipment at their houses. I made sure all of my antennas are DC ground potential, which is a floating RF ground. And I don't have any lightning arresters on mine, but I've got a tulip poplar tree that's about, maybe 20 feet away from my tower. And lightning hit that tulip poplar and did not bother my radios. So I don't know if the man upstairs is looking out for me or what, or if I just got lucky. But I'll knock on wood to this day about it. I didn't have nothing in the house got hurt. But it did get the tree right outside the corner of the house.
Did it come down? Did it split it? I've got poplars around and branches are always falling off. I've gone out in the yard and have seen branches about 2 or 3 inches in diameter and about 6 feet long stuck vertically into the ground 6 inches or more.
I get a good high wind and I have limbs come down all the time. But that particular tree that it hit, it split it and knocked the bark off over halfway around. About 15, 16 feet length. And then down at the bottom, there was a crack in the base of the tree. It still had the bark on it, but there was a split. It was a burn place, and it went in about, an inch or maybe an inch and a half. Might have been deeper than that. I didn't measure it, but it went straight in, and it was a black spot where it burnt. Down at the bottom of the tree, right next to the ground. From the ground up about, maybe 3 feet. But it I had to have the tree cut down because it was in such bad shape. It killed the tree, but it made a mess of things around here.
There was a prisoner of war in the Philippines, the Japanese, and they would play Japanese music, which gets on the nerves of most Americans. The radio was in a cabinet with a couple of doors that were locked, but the power, which was a battery, was outside the cabinet, and the power line would go from the battery into the radio. It was 12 volts or something like that. Everybody got tired of the music. My father finally took the power cord and stuck it into a 110 socket, and that curled up smoke from the radio and no more music. When the Japanese came in and went, "Why did you break the radio?" The response was, "Well, it's locked up. Nobody can get to the radio." And they accepted that. There were never any repercussions. Over.
A little bit amazing that that they didn't have any, or he didn't suffer any repercussions from doing that. But, you never know what's going to happen in a situation like that. What else you got for us tonight, Mr. Ed?
Mystery standpoint, you may find reading my father's autobiography interesting. He talks about life growing up in Eastern Carolina, how and why he joined the Army, before going to the Philippines, in the Philippines, before the war, during the war, and then back in the States after the war. It's about 30 pages long, interesting read. Most of it is subtly humorous. The site is www.rayWinstead.com/edw, and that'll take you to the autobiography. My brother put that site together. Very well done. Over.
I wrote that down. I'll have to check that out and see what that's all about. I'm kind of a history buff. I'm not the history buff my wife is, but, if we don't watch history and we don't study history, we're doomed to repeat it. So, best thing we can do is pay attention to what has gone on before us.
We're all living history now, so I guess we've all got to pull the curtain down for today and get some more rest. Over.
We need that, Dad. Tomorrow will be another day, and we don't know what's in store. But appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit this evening. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again sometime. In the meantime, you take care. Continue your recovery from your rotator cuff surgery. And I hope you get through all the rehab and all that. I call them physical terrorists. I don't call them therapists. Because what they put you through sometimes is pure terror. But anyway, you take care, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. 73, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Control, net control. This is KQ4OJW, Kilo Quebec 4, Oscar Juliet Whiskey, Daniel in Seneca, South Carolina.
4DOS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to KQ4OJW. Mr. Daniel down there in Seneca. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Daniel. Hope you are doing well there, young man. Do you have any comments for the net?
Roger that, I do. You are my first contact on my brand new Yaesu FT991 I've been putting together all day.
On your call and your new transceiver. I don't know if I'm glad that I was your first contact or not, but I'm glad that it is working for you. It's sounding really good up here in Easley. The repeater's up on Caesar's Head, but I live in Easley myself, and I'm calling the net tonight. But we have a net at 9 o'clock each night. It starts at 9 o'clock. Come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you each and every night or whenever you can make it. But your radio is sounding really good there, Daniel.
Thank you so much, and 73 is to all.
Like I said, come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you, and enjoy that 991. Change through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
Control. And November 4, Delta, Mike, Echo, and 4DME, Paul. Over here on the west banks of Lake Hartwell. And also check in Donald, Alpha Alpha 4 Quebec Sierra, that's AA4QS. We're both over here on Happy Holler, so appreciate you calling the net, and hope everybody's having a good week, and enjoying some of this nice warmer weather.
for the bass in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to N4DME. That's Mr. Paul, and he brings along his bass doubles, N4QS, down there in Tacoma. Appreciate y'all being with us tonight, Paul. Tell Donald we said hello. Hope y'all are doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. I guess I don't have any more rag cures. I guess that's going to about wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll finish closing the net out. KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. But thanks for all those folks who checked in with us tonight. Come back again tomorrow night and give the net controller a good dose of rider's cramp. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
4JBQ. KK4JBQ. This is KI4LZI.
KDI, this is KK4JBQ. So how are things up there on the ridge, Andy?
After hearing you talk about mic issues, I'm just curious to know if your mic issues there with that tin was anywhere near like the description of what I have had with this 8900 over the years.
The only microphone cable I've ever had to become damaged like this. Now, I may have contributed to it, but I don't think so. I treat my radios like they are made of gold. And so I don't have any other experience to compare it to. I'm just a little startled that it is so fragile. It cracked because of the heat. I'm certain. It's some sort of plastic coating on the internal wires that is protecting. You know, this plastic coating is thin. Oh, I wouldn't hazard to guess how thin, but it's thin. I can see it because it's cracking. Now, I don't think any parts of it have flaked off yet. That's why I hope to secure everything with the various remedies that I learned about tonight. And I don't know what you're experiencing there. It could be very similar. But this thing has only been in heat. The heat of the interior of a car. Now, I know nothing else in the car has experienced damage like this. Yeah, so, you know, it's just one of those things. I will patch it up best I can. And I guess you can do the same. I'll let you know if I have any success. KK4JBQ.
4LZI. Well, like I said, this is the third. And it's already bottom microphone. I can see all the little bitty thin different colored wires that actually goes up into the microphone. It's just a matter of time before connections up in the microphone break loose. Or on the other end where it's hooked up to the module plug goes inside the radio. That's some of them up there. It's just a matter of time before something gives way again, and like I said, this is the third microphone. I was just wondering if your connections was anywhere near in the same spots that the connections always break down on this MH-48 on this Jaser, if it was in some same spots. Like I was saying earlier, I got an old ancient first 2-meter radio I had here, Crystal Control. Click Mark 3 dated back probably in the early 80s sometime. That radio's got a microphone on it. You can't damage it unless you unintentionally damaged. It ain't like these, like this one here, well, over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. They go to giving way, and when you go to telling people you got problems, then you got to replace it again.
That's a fact. Well, to draw you a picture, I guess let's take it from the microphone, because it occurs near the microphone. There is the connector, of course, and then there's a short straight piece. I'm thinking it's about 4.5 inches. A short straight piece, and it starts to curl. And it's right there where it starts to curl that all this damage has taken place. Nowhere else on the cable. And it was not in, you know, like on the dash. I've never had it on the dash. I always tucked it back in underneath the dash, always protected from direct sunlight. But it does get hot inside of a car. You know. And I'm just going to deal with what I got. Sometimes when you can't explain every little nuance of how something happens, you just have to step back, take a strong look at it, and deal with what you've got. That's what I'm going to do. And it's only going to be a temporary fix, I suppose. I'll get to where it won't. The damage won't go any further. That's what I hope. And well enough to be usable. I'll get a new cable. And I'm thinking this curly Q cable is not necessary, you know? You can get a straight length of, let's see. It's an RJ45 connector. A lot of the new equipment is connected with an RJ45. So that has as many as 8 wires in it. You can run a lot of equipment. It's you know, the Cat5 type of cable. So you can get a short length of that, as short as I need here, and dismiss the whole idea of being curly. It doesn't have to be curly for me. The only thing to be careful about is the pinouts. And so I'm sure that's published on the web, what pins actually go, you know, in a Kenwood microphone, what the pinouts are. And I can make up a cable if it's not RJ45 type of setup. They could just switch a couple of wires in there and the thing not work because they decided to do so. Yeah, so I'll investigate that, make up a new cable, a straight one, and I'll have one to replace this if it ever starts going, you know, crazy, stupid, further down the cable. Right now it's only near the microphone end and about, oh, I'd say 5 inches away from the microphone. And it's just crackling because it's so brittle. I attribute it to heat. KK4 JPQ.
4L's the guy. It's never the curly Q part of the cable is the issue in my case. It's always at this plastic piece where the wire comes together and goes up in the microphone. Right there, just at the bottom of the mic, on there, or sometimes both. Right now, that's bad on this one. Up where it goes into the modular plug, it plugs in the radio. There's one up there bad. And I, like I said, I got a couple others around here that's been on here in the past that done the same thing. And it's always in those particular spots where it seems to go bad in, every time right there. And like I said, I've never had this radio in a car. Didn't buy this radio in the car. Bought it used where I'm at right now. Here in the house. It's just these mic cables that they use on them now. They're compared to transceivers of back in the 80s, like I was talking about a while ago. I mean, you couldn't damage those mic cords, but there again, say, like with that transceiver, it didn't have all the functions that this here has. It, we had it for the mic, and that was it, but you couldn't damage that mic cord at all on that old plaque. You can look it up there online and see how it is. A plaque Mark III, 2 meter crystal control transceiver. That cord is thick, and there ain't no damage in it, but these here I've had. Then I heard you talk about that, and I just wondered if Tim was the same way, because I've got two or three of them, including one I'm using now, and it, like I said, it's just a matter of time before it gives again. They're good for about 4 to 7 years, it would seem, or something like that. And eventually it'll go acting up. Somebody will tell me there's a problem, and then I got to change it out again. KI4LCI.
It's interesting as you give further description on where the damage is in your cable, that mine's in the same place. Now, I'm going to guess that the protective coating on the original microphone is something in the neighborhood of polyvinyl chloride, PVC. That will break down over time with exposure to sunlight or, you know, the ultraviolet rays in sunlight. PVC doesn't hold up all that well. Some formulations of it. But I know the little bit of chemistry that I know is that everything you touch, unless it's a rock or a piece of metal, has some plastic about it these days. Just everything. I'm looking at all around the room here, and there's plastic in everything. So, whenever they think up a new formulation for plastic, it's usually because their need is specific, and they formulate it to do what they want it to do. And a microphone cable is no different. Thing is, I can't put the whole responsibility for this on Kenwood. It's a fabulous radio. And they probably source, maybe not the microphone itself, but the cord that attaches. They source that from somebody else. And, you know, therein might lie the problem. I'm really, really sorry that you got bit 3 times. And I wouldn't know what to tell you to keep it from happening a 4th time. I just don't know. But I'm going to do what I can to cover this up and take the strain off of the wires that are inside. They won't take the continuous strain that this damage has caused right on and on without there becoming an issue down the road, a broken wire. I don't need that. So I'm going to, in one way or another, replace it and have a handy spare. Yeah, so that's what the consumer can do, you know. If you find something that's a little weak in a product that you've got, if it's a part, like this is just a part, then find yourself a source for a spare. Keep that on hand. A quick change in an emergency is better than being down for the time it takes to find a replacement, order the replacement, get it in. Fortunately, these things plug in. You know, an RJ45 is an easy plug-in type of device. So, it's no big thing. No big thing. And, we could beat it to death. I'm sure we already have, but we'll look after your equipment, keep it operational. And where necessary and possible, keep a spare. I don't have a spare microphone for this. Not the first time microphones have given me problems, but it's been other things. You know, I've got an HT that the longer I hold the push to talk, the noisier the microphone gets. It's the switch inside the microphone, I'm sure. But that whole radio went through a house fire. It didn't get flame, but it got a lot of smoke. The kind of smoke that, you know, is obvious and unavoidable in a house fire. I was just fortunate to have the radio. Back to you, Andy, KQ4JBQ.
For LZI, well, like I said, I bought this new in 06, and this is the third, and it's just a matter of time before it goes back acting up. I've got spares, but the spares I got just like this one, to the previous ones, and that's, you know, eventually in time I have to see which ones. Like I said, it's not so much. Apparently, you're right. They can't outsource these mic cable business. That's radio itself. No, never been a problem. It's just like I said, these mic cords just won't. These connections won't hold up long, and they're plastic coated or some kind of plastic like it's over them, and it gives way. Like this one here has, it hadn't started acting up yet, but it will in time, because I know where those wires go up in the bottom of the microphone here. It's a matter of time before some of those connections goes to giving issues with that up there, which kind of fired itself up on the plug inside the radio up there. Just a matter of time. I got three counting listeners getting close to going, just like it. I've got spares, but they're all, you might say, in bad. And it's never end, as you said, about their curly part. It's always bottom of the microphone or up there where it goes to the modular plug. Prior to getting the second mic, I've gotten so many mics for this, that's how I know now. Remember my brain that it's a MH-48, because I've had to get so many for it. KI-4LZI.
I understand what you're saying. Another thought occurred to me. I'm thinking about how I would make up a microphone cable myself that isn't curly. The curly part is not necessary for me, but you're still going to have some strength where the plug enters the microphone. Now, what I have observed some other products doing is putting a strain relief around the cord. It's in the form of a spring, you know, that stiffens that area. Now, the spring's going to be flexible, but it's going to take some of the strain. Say you're bending it at a severe angle, and the thing's already dried out. It's already kind of crispy. The spring strain relief will take some of that strain, and it'll live a little bit longer. It's not a perfect solution, perhaps, but maybe a little bit longer is all we need. Anyhow, there's a thought for you if you're making up your own cable. Doing it after the fact, you see, The RJ45 connectors are put on with a special tool, a crimping tool, and in order to, you just have to put something like a strain relief on before you make the connections with the plug of the bare wire, you know. So there's an additional thought to relieve the strain. And I am, you know, I'm not that far away. I'm not 3 feet away. This is a short cable. And I'm sitting in a seat not as far away as the mount within the car was from the radio, you know, when it was attached in the car. It's about the same. So anyway, maybe it's just a matter of having to deal with keeping a spare around all the time, keeping it close to the radio in the same room anyway. That's what I like to think about, keeping track of anything. Keep it in the same room. I've done that with manuals, you know. Let's say that it's an electronic device, came with a manual, and we have it in the bedroom. Well, the manual stays in the bedroom. I don't put it anywhere else. I have to look in through all the rooms of the house. So I keep manuals in the room where the device is. It seems a logical thing to do. If I could be perfect about doing that, I would have a lot less trouble of finding the manuals for things. And then all of us have things that are so old that we've had them longer than we've had any good practice to care for the manuals for it. So you go online and you look for a manual. And so then you get this, there are, I don't know, 400 websites out there with manuals that you have to pay for and all sorts of hoops you got to jump through to get a manual for an older device. So it's very good to keep manuals for whatever product you have. You will undoubtedly have a question about that product given enough time. I like to keep my stuff going, you know, not replace everything every 3 or 4 years. This is KK4JBQ.
JI4LCI, that sounds like that test equipment that I just bought a month or so ago. No manuals come with it. I have to go to the MFJ website to look stuff up about it in order to use it properly. To know what I'm doing, being that I got this noise, utter noise issue that I'm still in the process of trying to track down, but back when, you don't really get manuals then, where they're all online, I guess, but with this 8900R here, you know, when I bought this, the radio itself's a good radio, but due to whatever it is that's in these mic cords on these connections, that seems to be, being how many I've had on this radio since I bought it new in 06. They got a real weak point when it comes to these connections on these mics here. Some of these J's. And if Jenwood's like that too, then there's a number of manufacturers here on the mic cords where they kind of get a little sloppy.
It sounds like you're of the same mind that I have about, you know, my stuff. I want it to last. I don't care much about buying a new thing to do whatever this thing does every few years. I want it to last. So you spend a little extra, perhaps, to get a good product. You hope it's good. It manufactures somebody maybe you've dealt with before and it's been pleasing to you. But you give a little extra so that it'll last. Now, up until this point in time, that seems to work, generally speaking. But going forward, I heard a very disturbing report on the radio a few days ago. Maybe it was a few weeks ago. Yeah, that's what it was. About the expected life of major appliances. How long would you expect a refrigerator to last? Oh, my goodness. This was what they chose to include in the report. That's the item they chose. A refrigerator is not supposed to last more than about 7 years. Whoa, 7 years. That's giving it up pretty quick. I know my mama had a refrigerator for, oh my goodness, must have been over 20 years easy, just very easy, over 20 years. And the only reason she replaced it was that, you know, her family grew. It was, first of all, it was just me, you know. And then she had another one, and then she had another one. And by the time she had three children, she had to have another refrigerator for all the food that was necessary to keep us going. And to grow us up strong and well-nourished. A bigger one, you know. But the old one, it was fine and dandy. The compressor in it was fine. Didn't have to be recharged. Never had a service on it. Well, so we replaced our refrigerator after being here maybe 20 years. So it lasted all that time. And I think we moved that refrigerator from our previous place. So son of a gun. It's the way they build things these days. And they can't sell five to the same person unless they start breaking down. You know? Planned out obsolescence. Planned obsolescence is what they call that. In other words, they make it so it will break. And soon enough that they'll get a sale. Well, maybe not. Maybe someone will figure out that if the thing lasts long enough, the word will get around. And we'll all start running to a new product. I don't know. I know the world changes all the time, like every day it changes. And it's not always to the good. You just have to deal with it. That's what grown-ups do. KK4.
4LZI. Well, that's right to a big degree about this stuff, you know. Other than, like, how many months I went through with this 8900, that's the only thing that I've got bad to say about it. You know, the only other good thing about it, at least when it comes to the MH-48, the 8900 ain't the only one that used the MH-48s. The 1802Ms used the MH-48s. And this is talking about Yaesu equipment here. One I got in the car for 2 meters, this 1802, it uses the same MH-48 microphone. But it's, I've only, like I said, never went through more than one on the radio in the car, but here with this, and this is the third one, and it's on the verge at any time of going bad again. So, you know, it's just a weak point in it. It is. I wish that they had done better with that than other manufacturers in the deep past have. But as you say there, that seems to be the weak point. And being that you got a Kenwood that's got a kind of an issue, I didn't know if it was just a Yaesu issue here or not, being that that's primarily what my stuff has been. As far as VHF, UHF, your mostly goes has been Yaesu's. And glad to hear it ain't just Yaesu only. I'll be in here for maybe another couple minutes, and I got to go take in some. But when I heard you mention that, it reminds me of all the years here with having to change my cords out here ever so often due to that problem that I have with this on this radio here. KK4JBQ. K-I-4-L-Z-I.
All I can say is keep your mind on it. I'll illustrate that with one other thing, a light bulb. So, it's been a long time since Mr. Edison invented the thing, after trying thousands and thousands of filaments. He came up with tungsten, you know, kind of an exotic thing in the day, but it did last a long time before it went pop, you know. And so now, just going back a few years before LEDs, there were light bulbs that you could buy that were long-lasting, a real sturdy filament in it. And I stocked up on those things because I knew in time there would be, and I have ceiling fans that have lights in them, and they're quite high, requiring a special ladder to replace a lamp. You know, as I say, this is before LEDs. They last 10 times longer just because of what they are. And so in that regard, we've replaced most every light in the house with LEDs. Even the fluorescent lamps, the tubes, you know, the long tubes, they put LEDs in the same kind of package, and it's excellent light and just will last for a long, long time. And I'm happy about that. But now our porch lights on the back patio, that has a long life bulb in it. Now, I did it one better. I put a dimmer on that switch, a dimmer that I could control. So I put in I think it's a 40-watt lamp. I don't need a lot of light there. I'm not trying to light up the yard or anything. Just giving me a little light so that if I step out at night, I won't bump into things. So I've got a low wattage lamp, and with a dimmer, I take it down probably to 7 or 8 watts. And it's plenty of light because everything else is pitch black, you know. And that thing has lasted, maybe 7 or 8 years. It burns all the time. It's on all the time. I don't have to think about switching it on and switching it off. 7 or 8 watts is not a great deal, great cost, you know. I felt a little guilty keeping it on in the daytime, but I got over that. Because it probably costs 30 cents all year, you know, at the current rates.
Just a reminder.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm sorry for that. That's a reminder. I can't turn it off. It interrupts. It must be 11 o'clock. I have it set for 11 o'clock. To check the room humidifier, which needs water every day. Anyhow, Andy, I have to let that be because I know you have medicine to take and I've got to turn loose this microphone. It's been good talking to you. It always is. And I appreciate you, my friend. I really do. You have a good night. And let's do have a good day tomorrow, both of us, all right? This is KK4JBQ. I'll be clear and gone. 7-3.
Okay, I just happened to hear you talking about the mic issue, and I know what I've been through over the years. You're out. I got to go take some insulin, so this is KI4LZI. Clear.